You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything. I feel it coming. Do you wake up on the throne? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So I don't mind.
So, right about now, we're gonna slide into the Lynch and Kenny Hour. So, joining me from McAllen, Texas, is Tim Lynch. Tim, what's up?
Not much, buddy. How are you?
I got no issues. I'm all right, man. And then, and from Southern California, San Clemente to be exact, Jeff Kenny. Jeff, what's up?
How you doing? I'm doing good.
All right. I wanted to. We've been talking about discipline, I think, like a lot of people around the Marine Corps for the last couple of times we've got together. And I wanted to kind of rotate the lens relative to the conversation and get you, both your thoughts on just kind of broaden the lens a little bit. And I'll start with you, Jeff.
Okay.
General thoughts about the tenor of the discussion, the way the things you've heard people say. And is there any in a broad, you know, discussion, and we're no stranger to these, is there anything that has surprised you?
Two things. I'm glad you asked, but two things really surprised me. Number one, the vehemence of the reaction to it. Until you scratch at it a little bit and you realize this isn't coming from active duty guys. And, you know, it's coming from people who obviously it seems like the more they expand on how they feel about it, they have an axe to grind, maybe with the Marine Corps in general. And this type of thing makes them have this feeling of outrage, like, how dare you question, you know, us, you know, with our wonderful commitment and our wonderful heroism for joining the military, particularly the Marine Corps, at this time. And the second thing that jumps out at me is the lack of other, except for General Alford, the lack of other general officers standing in the door and saying, hey, you know, I'm up here in PZ-70 up here in, you know, in the Beltway, and I don't have any troops except for some clerks and aide that I don't trust because I'm afraid that, you know, they'll rat me out for something I might have done. You know, I don't have any troops, but I stand in the door with General Furness because I used to, and hopefully I will again. And I know that we can't accomplish anything if our guys can't follow the basic, simple rules of grooming that are standards in the Marine Corps. And at first glance, it's how you know a Marine from the rest of the services. You know, and every other service expects. I mean, I've known of COCOMs who said, I want a Marine because it's so, you know, it's got to be so purple up there. They'll say, I want a purple meaning, you know, other services, you know, involved. I want a Marine as my senior enlisted because I want to have someone who understands discipline. And this, and the vehemence against it, shows me we got a discipline problem.
Interesting. Timmy, your thoughts. You've been watching, and you've written a couple columns about it. Your thoughts on the general nature of the discourse that you've seen.
Well, you know, I agree with everything that Jeff just said, and I was going back as we were discussing before we came on. You go back to where we first met Dave, all of where we first met each other, and one of the things that defined a basic school at that time, some of those instructors, and Will Constantini was famous for this, and you were too, Matt, is you would get in arguments with other captains about something on which you would probably agree with them just to see if the guy had enough depth of knowledge to know what the hell they were talking about. Because nobody wanted to hear about the Australian peel that you read in the 13 Fingers book, you know, paper book on float or the Casca series, right? You had, that's how Jeff got out of EI Company right into IOC was his ability to reach back into history and tie it into with the topic at hand. And Dave And Dave excelled in that environment, and not everybody did. So what's weird is we know Dave, and we know the background, his intellectual pursuit of this. And so the stuff you see in the press, it's not even relevant. And the beauty of it today is he's got All Marine Radio. You can listen to him explain it himself. Just like if you wanted to bitch about Afghanistan, which Task and Purpose did this very day, you could listen to Dale Alford and balance out the two of them. That's the beauty of being on a podcast, I think. And that's the wonder of having this technology available. Is you can go deep on stuff because the medium on a website is a 500 page article, and how deep can you go in 4 minutes on Fox and Friends? You can't go deep on anything.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. And so and that's what I think is the beauty of this. It's a deep conversation, and I believe we've been hashing it out very well here, and I see in the comment section other people are also chiming in with stuff that's similar to what we're saying.
You know, it's one of the reasons I love what I do in that, you know, we're not going to talk about this for 3 or 4 minutes, right? We're going to talk about it for an hour. And I'd like to have, I'm trying to get General Van Riper to come on, because I would love to hear him talk about what he did.
That'd be great.
Right, when we were lieutenants and captains. Because, you know, Tim and I were talking. I don't know that I understood that as well as I should have understood it. And I
did not.
Yeah, so I would like to hear. I didn't see the wisdom of it, I think, till I went to Iraq the first time.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I got out of the Marine Corps, and but I mean I was hell on discipline. I believed in it. I didn't understand, you know, what he was doing, and so. I agree with Tim in that I love what this format, because it is long format, and you can have a robust conversation. I will say this about the general discussion, though. I'm with Jeff. I'm a little bit surprised, right? And along the way, I learned some stuff. And one of the things that I learned hanging around guys like John Kelly. I mean, imagine this. I go over to IOC and from Tactics. And when I walk in, and they're having an argument about the Algerian insurrection. Okay? Right? Now,
yeah.
I wasn't really sure where Algeria was, let alone that they had an insurrection. Okay? So it was a daunting place to go into. And so, but, you know, after being there for, you know, 2 years, you know, and meeting a lot of different people and being involved in a lot of different discussions, to include the whole maneuver warfare thing, you know, that Bill Lind was, you know, that he was all over, right? And let me tell you, if you were going to do that in public, you better have your ass and your brain wired together, or somebody was going to humiliate you in public. Relative to that. So what I learned is when smart people are saying things that you don't understand, that the best default position is to shut up, to do a little bit of research, and then come back and ask smart guy questions before you move to, that guy's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I would double down on that by saying, if they have pretty robust experience in the Marine Corps, I would tell you, you better check yourself before you open your soup cooler, okay? Because they got that opinion based on a lot of experience. And I will tell you this, a case in point is, you know, General Zinni, at the time, he was beyond his time as what the special envoy to the Middle East for President Clinton. He had been CENTCOM, and now we're sniffing down the trail of going to war in Iraq. And Zinni comes out and says, I don't know what planet these guys are on, right? You can maybe afford to do 5 different things as CENTCOM, and this is probably 8 or 9 on the list. It's just not important. And I don't know where they're getting their intel, because I just came from that place. And so now, and I remember thinking, holy shit, right? and everybody ridiculed Zinni, right? Rumsfeld, I don't even know who that guy is, right?
Yeah, that says it all, right?
That
there.
Snarky son of a bitch. And I just remember and knowing, like, my nickname for Zinni is the Burning Bush, right? So if the Burning Bush is saying that, I'm reading, okay? And I did. And to me, that's what this whole discussion, what you would hope would happen, right, is instead of, you know, all the glorious Americans that have seen fit to join the Marine Corps and are now bona fide Marines, might take a look at that and look inward and say, well, I want to listen to that thing a couple times.
Right.
And then I want to bounce it off what I see around my own unit. And then maybe we should sit down and have a discussion about, are we not doing that? Because, you know, some of the things they say aren't even a part of our lives anymore. We don't shine boots. We don't iron utilities. We don't do any of that. We just get out of the rack, straighten up our rack. You know, we don't have a diagram for our rooms anymore. And we just go down the formation on the days we have it.
And that's the amazing thing is how they can't even shave and cut their hair cut. That was the easiest shit we used to do. And it just goes to show you, a shitbird will always show himself. It used to be they had shitty boots and fucking crappy brass and, you know, wrinkled uniforms. Now, you got to really be an asshole. You got to not shave and have a haircut. And your breath's got to smell like fucking a chimpanzee's ass. You know, that's the way they know you're a shitbird.
But again, in listening and seeing, you know, some of the headlines, you know, for instance, let me tee this one up for you and get your thoughts on it, right? General, what was it? Stick to strategy, General.
Yeah.
anybody want to?
Oh, no, and this is perfect. Because you're right. When 2003, when Iraq was ramping up, you look at what Zinni said, and those of us who knew who Zinni was and knew Zinni said, oh shit, this isn't a good idea. But the CG, the second Mardiv, he's going to Iraq whether he thinks Zinni is the Burning Bush or not.
Right.
He's got to take.
Yes. That's exactly right, man. He's going. He's really no different than the squad leader in second squad.
Exactly. Exactly. He's got to go. He's got to take whatever shit plan he's given and make the best of it. And guys like Furness are smart enough to listen to Zinni and understand that the rosy predictions being spelled out for him are probably not going to be the way this thing goes down. But anybody that knows their history knows that going in.
So let me ask you.
We followed that guy's advice. General, stick to strategy. Dave would have got fired already because
that's exactly right.
President Trump, I think our strategy should be to abandon the middle, you know, whatever the fuck it is, you know. I think we need to, you know, attack Russia and we need to, you know, cultivate our
okay. It's a sad statement on the educational level of Marine officers to write something like that because just for the record, so everybody knows, generals don't do strategy. Okay,
exactly right.
Strategy is done at a higher
thank
level.
Thank God they don't.
Exactly. Then they exist. Generals do operations, and they certainly do tactics, okay? And so division commanders, their responsibility is to deliver a disciplined death tool to a COCOM, a combatant commander. That's what their job is. And so you read something like that, and you think, are our schools that screwed up? Are we now producing, you know, people that are this ignorant about their, you know, and I used to have a phrase when I'd be arguing with somebody who didn't have a clue. At some point, I would utter, fundamentally ignorant about your own profession. How does that make you feel? You know, and that's what it is. You read it, you're like, are you kidding me? Did you just do that in public? Good God.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the first things you get taught, the operational level of war, the tactical level of war, and above all of them, strategy. There's grand strategy, and you know, it's just and nobody in the Marine Corps gets involved. At the most, they get involved in operational, the operational level, you know?
At the most.
At the most.
Well, you could, you know, the kid, what the kid was saying is Dave should be acting, conducting his command in the nature of a General McClellan. And he's probably not even smart enough to realize that that calling him a General McClellan is, it's like a tremendous
insult.
That's the only idiot general who was good at organizing parades and started conducting strategic thinking. But he never, but he wouldn't fight. I mean, he did everything but fight. Right?
Yeah.
But you gotta know your history to know that shit.
Well, hey, there you go. Fundamentally ignorant about his own profession, man. God bless him.
Yeah.
You know, the other phrase that always bombs into my head is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Right?
Yeah.
Like Jesus is lying on the cross, and you know, just these guys are just there. But again, what's the other thing though? The other line that comes into my head is, what's the line from Shakespeare? Is it, "Thou protestest too much"?
Yeah, thou protestest.
Yeah.
And you're making too much of an issue. This makes me think you're the opposite about it. Right?
Exactly. So there's a lot of screaming and yelling about there's nothing to see here, which leads me to think there's something to see here. But I wish, to me, it's an invitation to have a conversation about it. Hey, where are we, man? What does everybody think? And sit around, leaders of different units sit around and think, hey, how are we doing? Does everybody feel like they have the tools? And let me tell you, I think that'd be a pretty interesting conversation if you had NCO staff, NCOs, junior officers, you know, and then, you know, all the way up to lieutenant colonel in a circle having a pretty interesting discussion about where are we relative to discipline. I'd love to sit in on that, son of a bitch.
There's something else here because I've been a little bit personally disappointed that we have not tripped across the Okinawa battle, because after being caught flat with Iwo Jima, I was already right. and if you talk about being on the Shuri line of Okinawa, back to Manchester's book, where you could pick up a Marine off that front line with a crane and shake him, and nothing would move. You wouldn't hear a sound because the guys on the front line were that dialed in order to survive against the Japanese. And at the same time, replacements were coming in, and they didn't even know their names. The lieutenants would come in and be gone in hours. And the men never even knew. But the guys that knew that stayed alive on those front lines, they were conditioned to the point where everything on their body, nothing made a sound. They became
expert train the trainers. Because you get a guy there, mm-hmm. what's your MOS? I'm a machine gunner. So you sit the kid down, explains to him his skills to fires, explains to him about the dead space, how they got to cover with mortars, and says to him, okay, any questions? And the kid says, yeah, how do I shoot this thing? The 30-cal machine gun in front of him. So that's exactly right. You know, you're like, oh, well, let me reassess. Because that's what, it's not just an NCO's job. It's a guy who's been there for a while job to do with a guy who just got there, to get him ready, to make him effective. And as far as the uniform part of it, the haircuts and everything and all that, that's, you know, that should be, and I can't criticize, you know, General Furness and then General Alford for anything about, that's not something you need to argue about or even explain. You know, it's just, it's self-evident. It's just self-evident.
Well, let me just tell you, that's Marine Corps 101. If that's a problem, and let me just tell you why this is an important discussion. Right? It's an important discussion in our culture that doesn't do discipline, right? Look at the state of the United States Navy. The Navy is in crisis over discipline, and you see it in the 7th Fleet, in the Surface Navy, and you see it in the Special Operations community in the Navy. I mean, and it's reached crisis levels where it's just undisciplined. People say, yeah, well, those rules don't apply to me. Or, I mean, I'll tell you what, if you're following the Chief Gallagher story, 7 members of SEAL Team 7 on multiple occasions went to their troop commander and their senior enlisted sailor chief in on 3 occasions saying, this is an issue and we want somebody to investigate. And the only way the investigation got done, talk about moral courage, you know, they got told the second time, hey, you're going to lose your chicken, and the frag pattern of this stuff is pretty big once it starts, so you ought to be careful.
But, you know, they're fucking with that guy, though. Big time, too.
So let me just tell you, when seven people on three separate occasions go to their commanding officer and say, we believe this should be investigated, and they get told to go away, that's wrong.
That's wrong. What really happened.
Well, I mean, look, but Jeff, you don't tell them to go away. Now the investigation sorts it out, but you don't.
I remember the way the Chisani thing was first put out there. That it was a lot like that, and that's not what happened. You know, it's just not what happened. And you started digging into it, you found out, you know, it was.
I know,
just
but you gotta do the investigation.
But you got lawyers in there, man.
But you gotta do the investigation. And my point is this. What they're saying is, if we can't self-police, if we can't take a hard look at ourselves, then where is the discipline? And then so there's the Navy, and so what about the Marine Corps? You know, I mean, General Amos, and I think General Amos, you know, I don't know if General Amos absolutely thought, you know, that the threads of the Marine Corps were a little bit tattered from, you know, just, you know, one-to-one dwell time, or if it was a political thing he had to do because of the urination video coming on the backside of Haditha and Hamidiya, and that he felt like he had to go around the Marine Corps and wire brush. He's the only person that can understand it. But if we look around and we see all this other stuff happening and we don't believe it can happen in our culture, we're stupid. And so to me, that's what bothers me the most is about the indignant attitude is, hey man, look around. Yeah. If the day bad things happen is the day that, you know, you don't think that it can happen in your zip code.
Yeah. I mean, that's there's no doubt about that. That's a factor, but it's also a factor that, sometimes just because of the way perception seems to be going, the Marine Corps will weigh in against the guy. Not just the Marine Corps, all the services, but matter of fact, less than the Marine Corps. But you got to play it straight when it gets down
right.
to that stuff.
No,
it's easy to sneer a guy. Look at Chisani, man. I tell you what, in my opinion, the way that they went after those guys was just not right. You know, and
well, let me tell you, I've done a lot of interviews about that, Jeff, and right. I'll tell you, I fault Chisani, and here's why I fault him. He was part of the march up, right?
Right.
He was part of the Fallujah thing,
right? Right.
So, in my opinion, he had the resident, right, the in-country knowledge that, pick a number, 19 to 24, 25, that any day that any of us have ever been in that country, that was a big number that somebody should have investigated.
But, Mac, you don't understand this. They were sucking all these initial advisor teams because I relieved those guys right out of his staff, and the staff's exhausted. The whole thing started because of a faulty SIG act, and that's what I'm talking about.
But Jeff, that happens to me. Chisani should have asked for it, and then the regimental commander should have seconded it.
And
the division didn't do that. Right. Is to me, because you do that what? To protect everybody.
Right. And then he refused to let him do it. And then he threw him under the bus right. when the investigation came out.
Right.
And I'll say his name, you know, General Huck, right here.
Right.
But again, you have to be
hard on yourself. And you know what? And it's sad, but sometimes people's careers get ended for not very good reasons, and that sucks. But you cannot be afraid to go there and do the investigations. And I think Jeff and I are saying the same thing. It does suck though.
Yeah.
No, you guys are. But one of the things I think that people who listen to this podcast will probably begin to figure out if they're not professionals already. Is how damn hard it is to be good in infantry. How hard it is to be a good combat unit and go into combat and consistently do what it is that you plan to do and achieve what you plan to achieve. It's damn difficult. And we've talked about the discipline in that and that. But right now, guys, we're in a perilous position. Now, this thing with this Chief Gallagher, you know, as our civilian culture continues to kind of fragment and fragment, this feeling of fondness for the military, and particularly Hollywood's infatuation with the SEALs, that's going to go away. And that Gallagher story can turn into a big movie that makes us look like fucking psychopaths. It's easy. The only thing stopping that right now is we enjoy an incredibly positive reputation amongst the American people, and that is not what the military had when Jeff and I joined it back in the
70s.
We were not there then. We're there now.
Vietnam did a lot better than we did in this one. I mean,
we're taking that shit for granted. That's the thing that I find most alarming. We can sit there and quibble and argue all we want to, but the overall thing is we need to recalibrate and pay attention to what it is we do, because it's not easy.
You're right, Terry. It's like part of the thank you for your service thing. I almost smirk when people say that, because I'm like, it's like every kid gets that now. Thank you for your service. I mean, everybody gets treated like a hero just for showing up. That's just, and so that's why I think explains some of the indignance about being questioned about, hey, if you can't do this, how can you fight? Oh, General, you're obviously not a hard-bitten, goatee-wearing killer like me. I only care about important things. I keep my weapons clean. Guarantee, if you can't keep your hair cut, your weapon is for shit, you know?
Well, if you're listening to this, if you want to hear one of the great PMEs that had a huge impact on all of us, go to the All Marine Radio page on YouTube, and there's a video there, and it's General Zinni doing about a 2.5-hour PME called Combat Concepts. He was coming back from being the CEO of 9th Marines, and in that he tells a story. He talks about he had been, I think, an advisor as a lieutenant. He's going back over to be a company commander. One of his lieutenants is flying in with him. And so he said, we get to the company about the same time. And he said, I was outside. And he was talking to a platoon sergeant. He said, I want to inspect weapons tomorrow. And the platoon sergeant was like, come on, lieutenant. This combat, we keep them clean. And the lieutenant says, okay, I got it, but I want to take a look at them. So he said, right away, his moral authority is challenged as a brand new second lieutenant. And Zinni says, and it was good, because he was good and he was up for it. He said, but right away he got the pushback from a combat staff NCO. And so the next day, the Marines fall out, they've got their rifles, and he starts inspecting them. He gets to the second rifle and he looks at the platoon sergeant and says, they're filthy. And the platoon sergeant says, I didn't know it was going to be some kind of boot camp inspection. Right? And so Zinni, and so that to me is kind of this issue. It's like, well, look, this is bullshit. He needs to mind his own business. He needs to worry about strategy. He, fuck that. I got all that. But what about this, and this, and this, and this? What about it? Are you guys doing it?
Yeah.
If you guys suck,
then you suck.
Execute anything.
Right.
You can't execute any kind of grand strategy if you guys can't keep your fucking weapons clean.
Right. The reason that I'm not worried about strategy is because we couldn't do it if we wanted to, because we're so fucked up.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Where's Jones? Sorry, I told him to be here. I don't know where he is.
You know what it reminds me of? It just occurred to me. The biggest selling book in the world, 12 Rules for Life, Jordan Peterson. What's his first rule? Clean up your room. Before you try to save the world, clean your friggin' room first. I mean, it's almost that kind of basic level of advice.
Well, that's what we're talking about, right? Look inward, right? But before you start, when you point a finger at somebody else, three fingers point back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And for those of you geniuses out there, it's not four fingers, okay, because your thumb's not a finger. So, see, there's another reason that you should always wait before you run your jib. But, no, that's I would tell you they're a little disappointing, in my opinion. And what I hope there's units around the Marine Corps that we don't hear from that have sat down and had a serious discussion about discipline and what it is to be disciplined, and do NCOs and staff NCOs have all the tools they need, right, to run it like it needs to be run? And look, do we have people that get upset when they get yelled at? are we there? And have that discussion. Because, look.
Even worse, admit when they're upset. I mean, you should be upset. You should be like, fuck this. I'll never go through this again. I will make sure my shit is squared away. And that guy can go fuck himself. The important word is, I will make sure my shit is squared away. He can never do that again. You know what I mean? And so, but now it's like, oh my God.
How dare he? How dare he?
That was unwarranted.
Right. Was that hazing? Did he haze me? Did he cross the line? Did he call me any bad words? Well, he said you were stupid.
Yeah,
right. Well, you know, truth is defense and libel. So if we went to court, he'd probably win on that one.
How about the gunny hit me so hard I went bald for a while.
that was a different. So anyway, I wanna shift gears and talk about the Chinese.
As I said at the top of the show, okay, that thing went off the rails in a way that I would not even put on the air. And I'm pretty liberal about it. But when the monkeys lose their minds, yeah, the shit hammer of the gods has to fall. And they know it. They know who's guilty. Exactly. So, and they've both been officially counseled. Each of them was given punitive letters of reprimand, I can say that, which meant nothing to them. So that's why somebody's got to be in charge. That's right. Somebody's got to be responsible. So anyway, so that one ends there. Thanks for listening on this Thursday. Chef's going to join us tomorrow. We're going to find out if you can put salmon in a crock pot. We're going to find out if you can put shrimp in a crock pot, a conversation we started last week. But if you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. You'll hear us talk about news. You'll hear me talk about my trip back here to Quantico in hour one. You'll hear a couple more thoughts about if you haven't listened to yesterday's program, make sure you listen to it. Post-traumatic winning, Spouses React with Allison and Berta. It's awesome. It's awesome. So, very cool. So, listen to that. And then today, stay tuned if you're listening live. After the news, you're going to hear post-traumatic winner in his own words, Sergeant J.T. Perry. Awesome interview. And so, you'll hear that. And then, after that, you will hear a short version, about 30 minutes worth of the Lynch and Kenny event. Exactly. They've been censured, officially censured by me, the long arm of the law. So, anywho, thanks for listening on Thursday. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday. All Marine Radio. Over and out.